Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you are with us today. And we are excited about this show. Hallelujah. Pastor Jim, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. There you are. And we want to send out a very special welcome today, Pastor Jim. This is so exciting. This is our first time that I can welcome our new audience, which spans, well, basically it spans a big part of the globe, and that's pretty exciting. This past week, we were able to join forces with the Starcom Media Network, which is 21 stations across the United States and their 400 affiliates. And some of those are in other countries, several countries, actually. That was pretty exciting. All of this is. I'm still so on top of it, Pastor Jim, about this. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, by the way, and welcome, everyone. Go ahead, Pastor Jim, comment on that while I grab this phone.
Well, it is an amazing thing that God opened up this opportunity. First of all, it's a miracle. And we are able to now be broadcast across the United States.
Yes, absolutely. In
places that, you know, we've never had outreach before. And also because of those stations' affiliates, a good part around the world. So we are kind of a global ministry, which is very cool. And you know, that's just a blessing from God that able to do that. You know, really, truly a blessing from God.
You know, he opened this door and, you know, we walked through it. Mm-hmm. And it's just exciting to know that there are a lot of other people on Sunday mornings listening to this show from 6 to 8 a.m. through the Starcom Media. And we have been, just for a little background info for all you new listeners, we have been on the air now. We're in our eighth year, almost ready to start our ninth year. We just celebrated our 400th show on TAN Talk 1340 here in Clearwater. And that's a lot of shows, don't you think there, Pastor Jim?
It is a lot of shows. And if our new listeners would like to catch up on those shows.
Yes, please tell them where.
You can go to our website, which is BOHM, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministry. So BOHMglobal.com. Click on the radio icon. You know, the little thing says radio shows. And it will take you to where you can listen to shows going back, years.
Years.
I mean, there are hundreds of shows on there.
Yes, so there are.
If you want to go back, and I believe they may be titled.
A lot of them are. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can kind of pick if you see a title that jumps out at you.
Right.
But yeah, please go in, listen to the radio shows. We have been doing this for, like Pastor said, 8 years. So there is a wealth of worship and praise and word.
Yes.
Just waiting for you to listen to.
Oh, absolutely. We are a word-based ministry. That's what we are, non-denominational. We're in our 14th year as a ministry, and our slogan is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives, and it's all about the Word of God. Megan, are you on the air?
Good afternoon, Marcia Pastor and TJ.
Hey, Megan.
Marcia Pastor, guys. That was good. Okay. That's cute. Megan is from up in Richmond, Indiana, and a part of our radio team. And for our new listeners, we have a radio team that kind of alternates with me every week. And that's a lot. We've got a half of them are in the Indiana area where I used to pastor and started a church in 1985. And then the other half are from this area where I now pastor. So it's pretty cool that we have this range of people, and how God has kept Megan, you, and your mom, and I, and of course your families together in 30 some years of ministry is pretty darn cool, isn't it?
It is cool. It's amazing how God works and how He brings people together and creates this lasting relationships that that you just absolutely cherish and you can't put words to.
That's right. That's exactly right. And our new audience is going to get familiar with our life stories, Megan, and all the different things that we are each going through and have been through. And that's part of what Living the Good Life is all about, is about being very real. And we believe in real life experiences that we share. We believe in giving people real hope. We believe in giving, helping people to boost their faith, real faith in God and in His Word. We believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tomorrow, I started to say, but yeah, tomorrow too, and forever. And that this is all about the power of the living God, Pastor Jim, the Almighty God. That's why we do this show week after week for 2 hours. It's so exciting.
It is, because we have seen Him move.
Yes.
We have seen His Word be glorified. We have seen lives changed because of His Word. And you
Amen.
Know, we believe the Word, we believe the Scripture, Hebrews 4:12, the Word is living and active and sharper than to any two-edged sword.
Amen.
The Word is alive.
Yes.
It will change you.
It certainly will change you. Oh, Megan, and you know, you grew up, you started coming to the church I pastored in Indiana when you were about 9, right?
That's right.
You've grown up in the Word, haven't you?
I sure have, and you know, just like with other people, you know, there's times when we stray off of the path, and then there's times when we weave our way back. But that's where, through this radio broadcast, we can share our own individual testimonies to prove the nature of God and how He is constantly forgiving us for our errors and our mistakes and us swaying off path.
Yes.
We're here to help people understand the nature of God.
Yes, we are. That's a good way to put it. And we do that through the Scripture we teach. And in fact, if you have your Bible wherever you are, once you grab it, the second book of the Bible is Exodus. And we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3 in just a few moments. We have great contemporary music. And by contemporary, I mean more recent music by some of the finest artists out there in Christian music. And we try our best to just let the Holy Spirit lead us in what songs are going to be on each show. And we don't have a script, do we, Pastor Jim?
You have no
script there in front of you, do you?
No, we have the Holy Spirit.
We have God.
He is our script.
Amen. And so we let the Lord lead, and we just teach the Word of God, but we bring in our life experiences, and we bring in some music that really blesses you. And we pray for your needs. And we encourage you to use our prayer line, and we'll give that to you again later in the show. It is prayers at BOHM, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. BOHMglobal.com. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com. You can use that for any prayer requests. Now, Pastor Jim has the computer up in front of him in the studio. I'm in the control room at the controls. How about that? And Pastor Jim will be looking at any emails that come in during the show. You can reach us quickly and easily, pastor at bohmglobal.com. We also have a new text-in phone number, and that is 727-888-4444. 7262-4171. And you can text during the show, and I will check those texts periodically. 727-888-4171 if you would like to comment or ask a question, whatever. If you listen to this show through the Starcom Media, then it's obviously a week behind when we recorded it live. So the email address would be the best way to do it then, which is pastor@bohmglobal.com to communicate with us instead of texting. So anyway, that's where we are. We're excited about today. And we are going to start off with a song that we used a couple weeks ago in our Friday night gathering called Your Name by Paul Baloche. And Pastor Jim, do you have anything you want to say about that song?
It's incredible. I love this song. It's just, it's such a great worship song, and it exalts the name.
Amen. And the name is Jesus. Whoa, hang on. Okay, there we go. It's supposed to be starting. Try that. Okay, it's not starting, so we're going to go to a different song right now, and we will go to the one about from C.C. Winans, His Strength is Perfect. We love that song too. Here we go.
He'll carry us
All right. I love that song. Praise God. I was going to play that song in a few minutes anyway, so we just went ahead with it. And that is such an amazing, amazing song. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. And it so applies to Moses. So turn with us to Exodus 3. And we know that God has tapped Moses on the shoulder. We've talked about that in the last few weeks. And Moses has had 80 years of very interesting experiences. His first 40 were in the palace in Egypt, and he was actually the, I guess, the adopted son of the princess, the Pharaoh's daughter, and that story we talked about in the last couple weeks, and you can find that on our website if you want to go back to that show and see how all this fits together. But by the time we get to Exodus chapter 3, we have God appearing to Moses out in the wilderness where he has been for about 40 years. Moses actually had three sections of 40 years in his life. The first 40 were in the palace, and he was really the adopted grandson of the Pharaoh. And so he lived a very kingly, regal, amazing life there in the palace. At around age 40, Moses went out to be in the fields or in the area with his actual real family, which were the Hebrews, the Israelites, and he tried to intervene in a fight, and he ended up killing an Egyptian and burying him in the sand. And that is found in Exodus chapter 2. And as a result of that, Moses' life was really in danger. The Pharaoh wanted to kill him. And so from that point on, Moses was on the run for about 40 years. And he went and he settled, it said, on the backside of the desert. And there eventually he met his wife, and her name was Zipporah. I like to call her Zippy, but that's who he met. And he eventually had two sons out there. So for 40 years, he had a totally different lifestyle than in the palace. He is a shepherd. He is out in the wilderness taking care of sheep. He is a common man. Would you say, Pastor Jim?
He is now. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he became, you know, he became a Bedouin. I mean,
yeah.
The Midianites, you know, they lived in tents. They were mobile people. They lived in the desert. They would take the sheep where there was grass to feed them.
Right.
So they would kind of follow the seasons. And, you know, they were nomadic. So, yeah, this was totally different for Moses.
Totally, completely, wasn't it? So his lifestyle changed. And now he's almost right around 80 years old when he is out shepherding his flock in the early part of chapter 3 of Exodus, and he sees a bush that is burning and on fire. Whoa, Megan, you've never seen anything quite like that, have you? Are you there?
I'm sorry, are you there?
Yes, yeah, I'm here.
No, I have never seen a burning bush that was not burning.
No,
it was just, you know,
that was not
fire.
Burning up, right.
Yeah, and the twigs still kept their shape, and they didn't
right.
char. And no, I've never seen anything like that. And I have to say, I probably would react the same way Moses did. It would stop me in my tracks, and it would scare me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, this is weird. I mean, this is so completely strange. And basically, it was God appearing in that form, the form of fire. And he starts to talk to Moses and remind Moses that he has a plan for his life. And, you know, dear one out there today, God's got a plan for your life. Maybe you've never seen God at a burning bush. You don't have to know that God's got a plan for you and that he loves you. This is, in this story, God gets Moses' attention in this particular way. Now, he gets our attention in other ways. Pastor Jim, would you agree with that, that he has a way of getting our attention?
Oh, yes. He can get our attention well, through the word.
Yes.
Through prophecy given by, or word of knowledge given by someone else, maybe at church.
Right.
He can get our attention through circumstances.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes he kind of has to box us in, or as I like to talk about Paul, when he was Saul, sometimes he just has to knock us off our horse.
Right. You know. That's what happened to Paul.
Right.
Right, Saul.
Sometimes he'll line things up to get our attention.
Yes.
To put us in a position where we basically have no choice but to call out to him.
And when those tests and trials come and those circumstances and we start to call out to God, I think it's so interesting because he never says, hey, where you been? What's going on? You know, I'm mad at you. You know, Megan, talk to me about that. He never gets mad at us and like that and tells us off, does he?
No, he has never done that to me. And he's never done that to anyone that I've known.
Right.
That has, you know, been under a circumstance that they've turned back and said, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, forgive me.
Right.
He does. There's no question. He just, right there in an instant, you're forgiven, child.
You're forgiven.
It's that quick. There's no questions asked.
Absolutely. And, you know, even from the get-go here in Exodus 3, when God gets his attention and tells Moses to take his shoes off, he's on holy ground. In other words, I think here he's trying to say, I really am Yahweh, I'm the God Almighty here, so bow in worship to me. Don't you think, Pastor Jim, he's getting his attention with the burning bush that doesn't burn up, and then he's getting his attention by going, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground.
Right, and I look at, you know, we've seen this depicted either in the Ten Commandments with Moses or
sure.
Or more recently maybe in that miniseries, The Bible.
Right.
Just the whole burning bush thing. Yeah, I'm like Megan. I think I'd kind of creep up on it a little bit. Now, the minute I heard a voice coming out of it, that might be something different. But I would certainly obey that voice.
Right.
But the thing is, Moses knew it was the Lord.
He
speaking.
Did, so, didn't he?
So somewhere, I mean, and God addresses himself first. I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
That sets up the whole thing with Moses. Okay, this isn't, you know, this isn't one of the gods of Egypt. This
right.
isn't some, you know, God of the Midianites. I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then God says, you know, I know what's going on in Egypt.
Right.
I've seen it. I'm going to act, and you're going to be the one to deliver them.
Yeah. And Moses, of course, just says, oh, great. That's great. Wonderful.
I can hardly wait.
He doesn't do that, does he, Megan? Moses is not thrilled about this new assignment. And go ahead. Comment on that. Then I want to make another point about that. Go ahead.
No, he in fact, I you know, when you read through a little bit farther down in chapter 3, is he questions his own ability to do what God is asking of him.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
That's a typical humanistic reaction, because it's like, God, you're telling me that I can do this, but I know deep down inside that I'm a coward, and I can't do that. And
right.
Just like Moses said, he's not an eloquent speaker. Well, none of us are, but, you know, that's when, if we let God lead and take control, when the Holy Spirit moves into our spirits, that we can become full of wisdom and become eloquent speakers, because it's him speaking through us.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why that song we just played is so important. In mm-hmm. In our weakness, his strength is perfected. Go ahead, Pastor
right.
Jim.
Well, in Exodus 3, verse 11, but Moses, you know, God just said, I'm going to be the one to send you. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?
Right.
And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I? Moses saw himself as less than, like, God, I'm not worthy of taking on this assignment.
Yes.
Kind of like Ruth with Boaz, when she says, why are you paying all this attention to me? I'm a stranger.
Right.
And Moses is saying, who am I? And I think he saw himself as less than.
Right.
Not up to the task. But I love God's response. It wasn't, okay, this is who you are, and this is why I chose you. It is, I will be with you.
That's all he says. Yeah. He doesn't try to convince him, does he?
Right. He says, this will be a sign to you. I'll be with you, and this will be a sign to you. But the funny thing is, this sign was not given like it's going to happen immediately. This didn't happen for a couple of years.
Right.
When you lead them out, you're gonna worship me on this mountain.
Wow.
And, you know, God cuts through the stuff, the baloney that we put up to try and get out of stuff. I mean, he does.
Yeah.
He kind of cuts right through it.
He does, doesn't he?
Moses said, okay, who am I? Who am I that I should do this? And God says, I'll be with you. We know God heard what Moses said, but it's like he just cut through it.
He didn't even try to convince Moses. That's what you're saying, right? And that, you can do it, you can do it. He just simply says, very matter of fact, and this is the most frequent promise in the whole Bible. And some theologians say that it's there 365 times in the Bible. And I throw that little trivia fact out a lot on this show because it's so important to remember that once or every day God says, I'll be with you. That's what he says. Megan, you want to comment on that?
Yes, and you know, he is with us. And that's why when Moses was trying to tell God, you know, I don't think I can do this, God didn't give him any specific reasons as to why he could.
Right.
And that's where that line comes in, where we have to trust God.
Oh, that's so true.
Woo. That's the other part of the relationship.
Yes.
It's not just God doing everything. We also have to trust in what he's asking us to do, and that he will be there, and that we will have faith that he will lead you through whatever he's asking you to go through.
Oh, yes. That song we just played, his strength is perfect when my strength is gone. When I don't have any, when I think there's nothing I can do here. God, you mean you're asking me to do this, whatever this is, and on the inside of me, I know I can't, but yet, God, you're saying you'll be with me. And go ahead, Pastor Jim. And then he starts saying, Moses says, who are you anyway?
Well, and that's so important because remember, Moses came out of Egypt and all the gods had different names.
Right.
And all God has done so far, just say, I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
He didn't really identify his name. And it's important because in Middle Eastern culture, your name is who you are.
Right.
You're as good as your name. Your name represents everything about you. So Moses said, well, when I go, okay, fine. When I go and tell them the God of your fathers has said this to me, they're going to say, what's his name? Then what am I going to tell them? Nya, 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 nya. You know, it's just like, ha, ha, ha. I got God over a barrel here.
Yeah. He's got to tell me who he is now.
And he does. And
yes.
He says, and I was just thinking about this. What sort of a name is I am that I am?
I know. You really? Know? Seriously.
You know, it's not even like Zeus or, you know, Osiris, you know, I am that I am.
But that is so profound though.
It is so incredibly profound.
It is.
Because it's a name that's not a name.
There you go. You got that, Megan?
Yeah.
That clarified it, PJ.
Yeah, oh, I know. I'm sure it's as clear as mud. But the name is I am who I am, or I am that I am, or I will be what I will be.
Yes.
Which shows the eternally existent God, the covenant-making God, the God who's always been there and always will be there.
Right.
And, of course, you know, in Hebrew, the name is represented by four letters, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. So it's the YHWH, which can be Yahweh, Jehovah. And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It was always wrapped up in this name. I mean, for our listeners, you go around and find out how many times I am appears in the Bible and in reference to God. It's an amazing thing.
Absolutely.
Because that's kind of the shortened name, I am.
Right.
Because he says, you're saying to the Israelites, I am, or the I am, the one who is. It's almost like what my name is, you know, I think they were maybe looking for, I don't know, just a regular sort of name.
Right. whatever that might be.
Whatever that might be. But he just says, just tell them the I am, the one who is. That's all you need to know about me. I am the one who is.
Absolutely. And I love how when Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father and the nature of God, in the book of John, there are seven I am statements that Jesus makes about himself, which he further clarifies who the Father is, who the Trinity is, by saying, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Did I get them all? I think so. And Jesus in the book of John explains and amplifies on what God the Father says to Moses right here in Exodus 3. My name is I am. Okay. So Megan, talk to us about that. Doesn't that just bless you, that this whole rich teaching right here of who God is?
Ooh. It does. It does, because to me, in layman's terms, and I'll use that word, because to me, that means he is everything.
Yes.
He is what you need him to be in that moment.
Right.
If you need him to be the light, if you need him to be the vine to pull you out, if you need him to shepherd you in the direction you're supposed to go, if you need him to open the door for you to walk through, he will be that.
Woo! That's good stuff, Megan.
He is everything. You can't put a definition on his name. That's why I think that it was so vague. It's just because that is what I am. I am this. I am everything. I will be your everything. And that's what he wants to be for everybody, is your everything.
That's really good, Megan, because he wants to be what we need him to be in that given moment. You know, like you said, I am the light. Sometimes that's what we need. You know, the word of God, it says in Psalms, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And there are times that we just need that light for direction and guidance. Megan, you're right on there with all those things about him. It's interesting, Pastor Jim, that Moses doesn't sit then and argue about, I don't get it. Do you notice he doesn't?
He just accepts.
He accepted that explanation.
He accepts this revelation of God, because it is a revelation.
It is.
Of who God is. And he just accepts it because God says, this is my name forever.
Yeah.
This, you know, I'm giving you this forever. This is how I want to be remembered.
Right.
By this memorial name.
And, absolutely.
And yeah, Moses just accepts it. And, you know, God says, go to the elders, tell them what happened. And he says, you know, they'll listen to you.
Now, these elders are back in Egypt. They are part of the huge nation of Israel now that has developed from Jacob and his 12 sons. Mm-hmm. Now we're at 2 to 3 million people that have been slaves in Egypt for at least 200 years. They were living there 400 years, but they've been slaves for at least 200, and in the last many years, their slavery, it was awful. Their lives right. were horrendous. And so God had said to Moses, you're going to go back there. You're going to gather all those people up, and you're going to deliver them from Egypt. And that's part of why Moses was going, who, me? Are you kidding? You know? And he had to feel that amazing amount of weakness to be able, and he also had to kind of be afraid to go back to Egypt, don't you think, Pastor Jim?
Well, yeah.
After he murdered the Egyptian, I would assume,
maybe like here, there's no statute of limitations on murder.
Right.
So, and yet God, you know, God didn't even deal with that. He said, and I like the way God puts it. He says, chapter 3, verse 19 of Exodus, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. It wasn't, okay, because we know that he used Moses and Aaron.
Yes.
You know, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, or else I'm going to turn the rivers into blood, or I'm going to bring up frogs or whatever. But God said, I'm going to be the one. Moses, this is not you doing this. And I think that's important, because sometimes we think, if God calls us to do something, we think we have to be the ones to do it.
Oh, that's a good point.
And here God says, I'm going to be the one stretching out my hand.
Yes.
I'm going to be the one doing this, showing forth these wonders. I just need you to be obedient.
Absolutely.
And we see, you know, later on, you know, Moses and Aaron were obedient.
Yes, absolutely.
And when they were, then God moved. And that's what he's calling us to do, is to be obedient, and he'll move.
Woo. And he knows every single one of us, no matter what it is we're going through. Megan, you want to comment on any of that? Because that this is just such rich teaching here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think it's important, too, to understand that God picked someone, a common man,
right,
that murdered someone.
Right.
To go in and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go.
Right.
But the only way he could do that is with the omnipotent strength of God.
Right. Absolutely.
Leading him through this, because otherwise, like PJ said, there's no way Moses would have went back into Egypt.
No.
And that's where we need to realize that, you know, when we give our life to the Lord, and when we obey him, and when we are his children, and we let him lead the way, we don't let our past control our next step.
Good point, Megan.
We're letting God control that next step.
And that is such a profound point. And we need to remind ourselves, God knows our past mistakes. He forgives them. We ask him to forgive. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word says that when we confess our sin, he buries it in the deepest sea, and it's as far as from the east as from the west, which there is no beginning or end to the east and the west there. So, I mean, it's amazing. But yet God knows, he still knows the things that we are thinking that make us think that we're unworthy. Right, Pastor Jim?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we like to throw those things up. Satan likes to throw them up to us, you know, remind us of, well, you know what? You can't do it. You can't do this because...
Exactly.
And if we believe that, then we're going to tell ourselves, God, I can't do this because. And
right.
God just says, I chose you. I'll take care of it.
Right.
You know.
And don't you find it interesting that Moses goes, I mean, basically to the backside of the desert, I think it says in some translations, right? He goes about as far away from the splendor of the palace and the regal life that he grew up in, and the him being a prince in Egypt, out to being one of those shepherds that are out there in the desert with sheep, living as a nomad, probably, and a lot of times under the sky with no covering, maybe mm-hmm. a tent. But he was just, he goes the extremes. God has never forgotten that this, that he has planted himself in Moses. He has not forgotten that Moses has a call on his life, that he has a purpose for Moses. And I think this so applies to everyone in our audience scattered wherever you are in this globe. God has a purpose for you, and he knows where you are, and he knows what you've done that makes you think you can't be used of God. But the truth is, you can be. Megan, comment on that before we go to a song here in a minute. Woo.
That is so true. And, you know, just as Moses being 80 years old, age is not a factor here.
Thank you. Because PJ's really old, so we, you know. Uh-huh. So, you know, we that's always good to remind ourselves of, right? Go ahead.
That's right. I did that, you know, just to get bonus points.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, you know, there is no factor on age, and that's why we need to realize it's never too late.
Amen.
To start anew. It's never too late to tell the Lord, hey, you know, I've been messing around all these years, but you know what? I'm ready to find out what you want me to do in this
Woo.
Life.
Amen.
Because there is something for everybody. You know, you might,
yes.
excuse me, a frog in my throat. You might think that you're here and you're just here just to live your life, No, you're not. You're here to be a shining star in the world and to show God's love.
Ooh.
And
Amen.
That's why I really want people to understand is it's never too late to turn your life around and find out why you're here.
Oh, praise God, Megan. Yes, Pastor Jim, you have a comment on that before we go to this song?
I was just agreeing. It's yes. never too late. And there's nothing, if God's put a call in your life, he'll remove the obstructions.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, I had switched a couple songs around that I thought we were doing on the show. It's so interesting how things work, because the CD I tried to use on the first one nothing came on. And so this is the song that was originally scheduled before I switched it, which to me is right on here with our discussion. Pastor Jim, do you see this?
Mm-hmm. I see it.
Do you want to introduce the song?
His Eyes on the Sparrow by Selah.
Woo.
Discouraged, why do the shadows come, and why does my heart feel lonely in love for heaven and home? Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So I sing because I'm I sing because I'm free. Yeah. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. Yeah. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know. I know he watches, and I know he watches
me. Praise God. His eye is on you, dear listener. No matter what you're going through, no matter what is in your past, no matter what is a struggle for you, if his eye is on the sparrow, then we know he's watching each of us. That's what makes him so amazingly wonderful and powerful. And God had his eye on this man, Moses. And he's 80 years old now. And a lot of people, when they're 80 years old, feel like God's done with them. And it's time for them just to sit in their recliner and watch soap operas. But guess what? Doesn't matter how old you are out there, dear one, today, God's got a purpose and a plan for you. Whether or not you choose to accept it is your decision. And we are encouraging you with the show today to realize that God's plan is bigger and better than anything we can ever, ever plan for ourselves. His plan is the real reason we are here on this earth, to accomplish what he has designed for us to accomplish. And I find it so interesting, Megan and Pastor Jim, that really Moses is... He's full of trepidation. He's full of, maybe we can even say fear. You know, he's full of his own inadequacies to the point that he really starts to argue with God about this. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on this? But before you make that point and go into chapter 4, the end of 3 is a promise. And it's very important. You want to make that point, and then we'll get Megan's take on this.
Well, you know, God does over and above, you know, to quote Paul in Ephesians, exceedingly abundantly, all above all that we could ask or imagine. And here he makes this comment in the end of chapter 3 that, okay, they're going to kick you out. I'm going to do all this stuff. They're going to kick you out. But then in verse 21... I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people so that when you'll leave, you'll not go away empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and of her that any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and clothing, which you'll put on your sons and daughters.
Right.
So you will plunder the Egyptians. You know, God does...
Just ask for it.
Yeah, just ask
for
it.
Don't steal it. Just ask for it.
Right, right. But it says in that word, favorably disposed, is the Hebrew word for grace.
Right.
I'm going to give you grace. You slaves, I'm going to give you grace in the eyes of your enemy.
Woo!
And they're just going to get... All you got to do is ask. They're going to give you their wealth.
And grace is when we can't do it in our own power. God comes in and does it for us and raises us up to a place where we can. And, you know, this whole series is entitled God's Goodness, Grace, and Glory. And here we see God being good to the Israelites, God being good to Moses, giving him a plan and a purpose, God being so full of grace that he says, it's amazing. You won't be able to take the stuff from the Egyptians. They're just going to give it to you willingly. Megan, isn't this cool? Don't you love this? I love this.
Because my favorite part is when it says, oh, my miracles will send them reeling.
I love that in the Message Bible.
I absolutely love that because, you know, that's just showing that the mighty power that he has to do what he says he's going to do, he will do it.
Amen.
And he did do it. And this is another miracle-proving story in the Bible that should get our attention.
Oh, yeah.
When he says something, he's not messing around.
No.
He means business. And, you know, when he means business and when he gets things done, he does it the right way every single time. And it's always those three G's. It's always for goodness, it's always for grace, and it's always for his glory.
Oh, amen. And he does not ignore the fact that the children of Israel have been slaves all these years. They probably have very little clothing at all, you know, let alone some nice stuff from Ralph Lauren or Tommy Hilfiger or any place like that. I mean, they really have nothing, and they have no jewelry. They've been slaves. They've not accumulated wealth. He sees their condition, Pastor Jim, and he says, he promises that he is going to clean out the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, you're going to, the New Living says, stripping the Egyptians
stripping
of their wealth.
Woo! Yes.
So
wow.
You know, God says, I won't let you go out empty-handed.
Right.
And, you know, amazing. I mean, they did. It says they just, everybody gave them.
Gave them stuff.
And part of it, I think, was the Egyptians were probably after all the 10 plagues. They were happy to see them go.
So, yeah, here, let me pay you to leave.
Yeah.
Whoa, please get out of there. I'm giving you money. I'm giving you clothes. Oh, my. Megan, though, isn't this interesting that God understands our limitations and provides for us?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's where we tend, though, to put limitations on ourselves.
Yeah, we do.
Because we think we know everything,
mm-hmm.
and we don't. You know, that's where we become fearful to live.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important that we need him, and that's why it's so important that when Moses went into Egypt, that he needed God, because, as we said, he couldn't do it without him.
No.
There's no possible way that a human on his own could go in and just speak these words that people are going to look at him and go, okay, whatever, yeah, you spoke to God, okay, but no, that truth out of the mouth came along with the proofs of the miracles that everything those Egyptians went through for making those people suffer in slavery for so long,
right,
that it scared them so bad, it's like, here, take everything and just get out, because it's scaring us, we're done, we need to get you out of here, just do what you need to do,
yeah.
and be on your way,
right,
because they were suffering too.
Absolutely.
They were being punished for treating God's chosen people as slaves.
Oh, absolutely. They were. And I find it interesting that the presence of God was so strong upon Moses. And another theme of this series we're doing right now is protecting that presence of God that is within us, protecting that anointing. Anointing is another word that we use that really reflects God's nature on us. You can feel it. You can see it when somebody has the presence of God in them and on them. You can feel a difference. And this is what God did for Moses, regardless of Moses' limitations. God was so there with him, Pastor Jim, that people knew. And when, you know, this edict went out, we're leaving Egypt and all that, it was like it was all over all the people too.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The presence of God.
And sometimes it would show up visibly, like when Moses, when he would go in to talk with God later on after they came out of Egypt, he glowed.
Yes,
he literally glowed. Yes. When he was in the presence of God.
Yeah.
I think part of it is, even though Moses tried everything he could to get out of this,
right,
there was also that other side to him where he was really obedient, because in the first part of chapter 4, Moses said, okay, what if they don't believe me? And God says, what's that in your hand? Well, it's my staff.
Right.
Throw it down. Well, he tosses it down. It promptly turns into a snake and he runs away.
Right.
and God said, pick it up by the tail, which he does. I mean,
yes.
When this stuff was going on, and maybe this was just as much for Moses as it was for the children of Israel, he was obedient.
He was obedient. God said, absolutely.
God said, put your hand into your tunic. And he did, pulled it out, and it was leprous.
Right.
God said, okay, put it in again, pull it out, and it was healed.
Right.
But he was obedient.
He was obedient. That's okay. a huge point right here.
And, you know, but then Moses, and I love the fact the Bible is so honest. It doesn't make people in it look like little stained glass saints.
Right.
Because, okay, Moses has just seen God do these two miracles.
Right.
And he says down in verse 10 of chapter 4, well, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent. And neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. Okay, like what, Moses? You expected some.
He does. It's almost like he expected a healing with his words,
with
his stammering.
I'm also slow of speech and tongue. And, okay, Lord, okay, I can do the miracle part, but just don't make me talk about it.
Don't make me talk.
Okay?
Right.
And then God says, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not me?
Right.
Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
God says, profound.
God says, okay, you threw up another limitation. I'll be with you. I'll teach you. I'm going to heal you.
Right.
And we'll do this.
And don't you think, Pastor Jim and Megan, that so often we are the ones that throw up our limitations to God, like Moses did? This is so, to me, exemplary of how we behave so often. Oh. God does a miracle. He does something in our life where he says, here, I've got this promise for you. This is going to happen, and this is what you're going to get from this. And we argue and we say, how can that be? I can't. Look at me. You don't, you know. Megan, talk to us about this before we, last comment here, before we do some advertising. Not well, really advertising, but you know what I mean.
Talking about good stuff.
Yeah, talking about good stuff.
It is those times when we put those limitations on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
when, and I knew that at some point this was going to come up, is when we go searching out in the wilderness for anything other than the most wonderful person that could give us a direct answer and
right.
lead us out.
Yes, and right.
God.
I know.
And it's like stop, and I've been here, stop wandering around, stop going different places, stop asking different people what you should do. Lean on God.
Amen. You know, amen.
You know, take your shoes off and spend some time with him.
Woo!
You know,
yes.
just like Moses had to take off his shoes. Take off your shoes. Take off your limitations.
Right.
And let God show you how powerful you can be when you move in the Holy Spirit, when you move with him, that mountains can be moved. Miracles can happen in your life. You know, we could experience such horrible things, but there can be glory and grace on the other side if you would just stop putting limitations on yourself that mm-hmm. God doesn't even and never has put on you, because he
Amen.
Knows your worth.
Amen. Woo, and that is a perfect segue into our second hour here, so stay tuned with us. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, where this program originates, in Clearwater, we welcome you on Friday nights to our Friday gathering. Beacon of Hope Ministries no longer has Sunday morning and Wednesday night services. We're doing things very differently under the direction of Almighty God. And we have a Friday night Bible study where we also have some great music of worship, and we pray for the needs of everyone. It's a couple hours of just an amazing time, don't you think, Pastor Jim?
Oh, amen.
It just is. It's always a blessing. God blesses us. We are currently meeting at the Ramada Inn on Almerton Road in Clearwater, 3580 Almerton Road. If you face the hotel and look at the front of it to the right and corner on the first floor, you will see a big entrance and a meeting place. It's beautiful, and that's where we meet Friday nights at 6:30. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, or if you're coming from some other place in the globe and want to visit Clearwater, we'd love to meet you. And 6:30 Friday nights. The prayer ministry we mentioned earlier, Pastor Jim, can you just say a couple more things about that? And then I'm going to ask Megan to talk about Go Yard.
Sure. We have a prayer ministry where you can send in your prayer requests to us, and either myself or Betty, also from Indiana, Megan's mom, we'll take the prayer request, write up a prayer, and send them out to our prayer team. We believe in a God who answers prayers, and we have
Amen.
Seen God move through the prayer ministry.
Yes.
And so we will send the prayers out, and if you want to be a part of the prayer team, just let us know. But please send us your prayer requests. We are more than happy to pray for them. That address is prayers, PRAYERS, at BOHMglobal.com. That comes, like I said, it'll come to me, it'll come to Betty. We'll pick up that prayer, we'll write up a prayer, you know, for it, send it out. And please, when God answers your prayer,
Amen.
Let us know that too, because I do keep record of all the praise reports when
Yes.
God answers prayer, because that's
We've had huge amounts
we
of
have,
answered
we
prayer.
Have,
oh,
and
my.
It's wonderful.
Oh, so we encourage you to use it. It's free, 24/7, 365. And that's prayers at bohmglobal.com. Megan, we started a new endeavor here just just in September, and we're going to, I'm going to let you talk about that on the other side of the break. And before we go to our little station ID here, we want to remind you that you can be a partner with us at Beacon of Hope Ministries without living in this area. We have our website set up so that PayPal is there. It's secure. And it is www.bohmglobal.com. So bohmglobal.com is our website. Go there. Go to PayPal, donations, and support the radio ministry here. We are actually right now in a new phase of the ministry, having two shows now a week, which Megan will talk to you about the second one in a moment. And so we are in need of people to be sponsors like they do on public broadcast system, where people are sponsoring the radio ministry. So we want you to be that person and be a part of funding the gospel that's now going to so many parts of the world through this broadcast and our other show on Thursday night. So you can be a sponsor. Just go to bohmglobal.com, go to donations, and then PayPal, give a donation. And it's, of course, tax-free because we are a 503c corporation. So we can send you a tax statement at the end of the year for your giving. It's a charitable donation. Listen to station ID, and then we'll talk to Megan.